country, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? For the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Daughter of my people, am I hurt? I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Well, this is a very important passage of God's Word, a passage that we need to take to heart. And I felt compelled that it was a message that would be applicable to our present dire situation. And I hope that you will stay with us on the webcast right through, that we will have the Lord's help in every detail. Now, just a few announcements by way of guiding people through this time. Please check the news button on our website for updates. It is on that news button that you will get the up-to-date information day by day. It's a kind of a blog. I'll date it each day as we put on information and prayer requests and various items there. Now, of course, we invite you back at 6 p.m. this evening for another webcast. It will be online only, but I trust that it will be of great benefit to your own heart and to your own soul. Now, you can send me an email, or if you need help in any way, if you need prayer, then I look forward to hearing from you by email, and of course you can give us a phone call. I trust that we will find ways to stay together and keep encouraging one another. And I hope that you will stay safe during this time of risk. Now, I have put on the website, on that news section, a PDF page that gives directions on how to minister to someone should they become ill in your own home. It comes from the Ontario provincial government, and it is a guideline of what to do if someone in your family becomes ill with this virus, and I trust that that will be a guide and a help. Now, during these times, and we don't know how long we will be doing this until we are able to gather together again, please let others know of these webcasts, and I hope that you will be able to join in as well. Then there are our radio broadcasts right through the week, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as well as the 9:30 Sunday morning one-hour service on the radio, KARI 550. Go to our website, cloverdalefpc.ca, for all the information on these ministries that we hope to maintain right through this strange time. Now, we're coming to this book of Jeremiah, and we realize that we are called to give a word of comfort and a word of direction at this time. And we know that in the world there is no place to hide right now, nor is there wisdom in man. Men do not have the answers. There are so many things that people do not know. And notwithstanding that, we're very thankful for all the efforts that are being made to contain this virus by governments, by medical people, and we do pray for them and trust that the Lord will use them to constrain this pandemic. So the question is, how do we as Christians and devotees to the Bible, how do we make sense of this global pandemic? Well, we are forced to acknowledge that we live in a fallen and a broken world, a world that sin has destroyed and brought the curse upon it. Indeed, I was thinking today of preaching on Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that this world suffers from the fall, from Adamic sins. Then there are our personal sins, and we are all in need of God's mercy. There are national sins that are done right across this world, day by day. We think of the abortion sins. We think of suicide. We think of governments introducing the Me Too program, where people end their own lives. There's the open rejection upon marriage and the promotion of other lifestyles that God hates. And so all of these things, there is, at this time, a wake-up call through this pandemic. Now, I do not call this the end of the world, but it is certainly God's warning. And the Lord Jesus has left us the fact that in the world we shall have tribulation, even patience. If you look up in your Bible, Matthew 24, and verse 5, you will see that it says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places." And the Lord was comforting his people through all of those things. And every year, every decade, every century, this world has been rocked by these catastrophic events that have brought horror and terror to many, many people. And this world, of course, has had plagues before. There was the Black Plague in the mid-1300s, which killed off many, many people in various parts of the world, and especially in Europe. Then there was the Spanish Flu of 1918, just over 100 years ago. That was a very severe flu epidemic at the end of World War I, and thankfully it was brought to an end, and the world has continued. Now, in this age, people tend to trust in science, and seeing that we know more about hygiene, more about bacteria, and how they mutate, people try to think that they can be in control. And yet, finite little man is fearful and filled with questions. And we ask, what is God doing? And this is the reason why today I read Jeremiah chapter 8 and why I want to come to look at this chapter. Now, this will be more the form of a Bible study than a preaching service. I'm going to try to dig into this chapter 8 and look at the lessons that we learn from the day of Jeremiah, when he was called to be a prophet of warning to a people who were headed for trouble. And we need to pick up the lessons from that event and see how God worked at that time, learn of God's character, and then look at the hope that Jeremiah gave in those times. And praise God, there is hope. We have this wonderful message of hope to a world that is very fearful. So firstly, here in Jeremiah chapter 8, as we look at these opening verses, we see that Jeremiah's warnings showed how the sin of the people caused judgment. It brought down God's judgment. And when you look at the opening verses, you will see that even God's people, the Israelite people, Judah in particular, here in Jerusalem, They were guilty of idolatry. They were worshipping the moon, the sun, and the stars. When you read there of the hosts of heaven in verse 2, that refers to the stars. And so these people had turned from Jehovah worship to become idolaters. And that was a terrible grief and a terrible sin. And you'll see how God would cause those people who worship the sun, moon, and stars, that their corpses would be scattered in the fields as skeletons to rot in the open air. And it was to mock the idea that the sun, moon, and stars have any way of helping, any way of answering prayer or turning them into gods. This was great idolatry, and it certainly was the reason for the judgment of God. Now, if there is anything that this COVID-19 virus reveals, it is the emptiness of humanism. And our country here in Canada and many around the world have turned to the God of humanism, putting their trust in the wisdom of men. And we need to recognize that this is a great grief to a holy God, and that we are now being wakened up to the reality that man is very puny and very finite. You'll see in verses 4 through 8 that they would not return to the Lord. And there were many calls, many exhortations, and we're told here in Jeremiah 8, verse 4, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, Shall they fall and not arise? Shall they turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and refuse to return." Now, I've been preaching in this church. Well, this building has been open since 1992, but Beulah and I came here to this community in 1984. And so we have been here all these years preaching this gospel, this message. But few have an ear to hear. And we can only pray that in this day of fear due to this epidemic, that God will cause men to turn, and that they will open their ears and open their hearts to the knowledge of the Lord. Now, in this passage, you have some very vivid descriptions of the stubbornness of the people who will not turn. They refuse to return. And you'll see in the verse 6 that they are likened to a battle horse that rusheth into the battle. And when that horse is adorned with all its military regalia, blinkers on its eyes, and it is set on its course into the battle, it just rushes headlong into the fight. And that is a description of unrepentant, unwilling men to turn to God. And they just ignore all the signs and all the warnings and go straight into the battle. Now also, you'll notice in verse 7, there are illustrations given of birds. The stork, there's the turtle, that would be a pigeon, and the crane, and the swallow. They observe the time of their coming. And in their various seasons, they migrate, searching for food. And they know the season. They know when to depart and to return. But, God says, my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And in spite of the word of God, in spite of the preaching of that word, and the many calls that are made to people to turn from their sins, to turn from their iniquities, there is refusal. And that is Jeremiah's job, to warn the people of his day. And of course, this is the work of every gospel preacher. And as I was brought to this passage, I was compelled to be the one who strikes the note of warning, of bringing God's message to Canadians, to you today, that you might give up the world and all the material things and the worldly things that you trust in, and recognize that you have departed and backslidden away from God. The place of prayer in the Lord's church is very often vacated. The place of worship is neglected, and your seat is empty. And there are those who do not seek the Lord in these days. There are many who would rather be partying than praying. And there are those who turn to drugs, to drink, and all the excesses of this life, but they will not turn their heart unto the Lord. And so if we learn from God's word, this historical passage of what God was doing in Jeremiah's day in Jerusalem, we see that the sins of the people brought the judgment of God. And they were warned. The Lord sent the prophet Jeremiah to teach them the meaning of the events that were soon to come around them. And so today, heed the gospel. Recognize your need to repent and return unto the Lord. Now also, as we move on down this chapter, I'm going out to verse 11, and see here Jeremiah's warnings proclaimed the character of God as a God of judgment. Now, in times like these, we are forced to ask, what kind of God will do this? The prophets, they cry out, peace, peace. Going down to verse 11, they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, the true prophet will preach that God hates sin. And the true prophet will always preach that God will judge it. Now, we need to see in this chapter that God intervenes personally. God is at work in the nations. And I have been asked over and over again, do I believe that God is in this virus spreading around the world? And we have to say yes. God is sovereign, and he takes his hand off restraining these things, and he is calling his people to waken up and to repent. Now, if you look at verse 10, it says, therefore. Now, you'll notice this is therefore the argument. This is the logic behind it all. Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness, from the prophet even unto the priest. Every one dealeth falsely. But you'll notice the personal pronoun. God says through Jeremiah, I will do this. I, in verse 13 also, I will surely consume them. And then in verse 14, why do we sit still? And at the end it says, because we have sinned against the Lord. And in verse 17, for behold, I will send serpents. Now, this is the Lord. God is at work. God is doing these things to punish his people, to awaken nations, and to turn hearts back to himself in a true godly repentance. And we need to recognize that God is the judge of all the earth who will do right. He is the same God who sent judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, our progressive liberal society doesn't want to hear about God working in judgment. But in this COVID virus, we have to acknowledge that God is calling men and women to waken up from their unbelief, from their ungodliness, and they must turn to the Lord. Now you might be asking, but do we read of pestilence here in Jeremiah chapter 8? Well, there is pestilence in 2 Chronicles 7, 12 to 13. And the next verse goes on to say, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now just prior to that, mention is made of pestilence. And God was in that. And so we see that God uses these things. God's hand is in all this world's affairs. He lifts up and he pulls down. All things are by his decree, whereby he does all things that come to pass. Otherwise, God is not sovereign. Otherwise, we couldn't pray to him and ask him to guide us in the morning through the day. We couldn't get into our car and ask for his direction to keep us safe. We couldn't get into an aircraft and buckle up our belt and say, Lord, watch over this aircraft and give the pilot the skill that is required. Prayer would become meaningless if we did not believe God does not intervene in our world. God has not just wound up the clock and let it run. No, he is in every affair of life. The Lord Jesus taught that even the sparrow does not fall without God's notice, and the hairs on our head are numbered. These teach us that God is in absolute control. And here in Jeremiah 8, verse 14, it's all because we have sinned against the Lord. Now there are degrees of sin. There are the sins of God's own people, the sins of neglect, the sins of just giving up and falling back, called here backsliding in this passage. And maybe you are a backslider today. You have lost out with God. Your heart has grown cold. You are not the Christian you once were. You have stopped witnessing to the world. You have allowed many things that are materialistic to crowd into your life, and you are not living as a disciple of Christ as you once did. This is a wake-up call. You need to rededicate, reconsecrate your whole life to the Lord and become a man or woman of prayer, crying out to the Lord for his grace in your own life and in those around us, and indeed in our nations today. If you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you have never asked the Lord to save you, but perhaps you know your need, then today I beg you to come and put it right with God. And we come at the close of this chapter to Jeremiah's warnings of judgment, but they directed men to the true gospel hope. And I want to bring you to these closing two verses. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? No balm in Gilead. No physician. What is Jeremiah alluding to? What's he speaking of here? Thankfully, he doesn't just speak of an empty judgment, a cruel, harsh God who has no mercy. No, the same God who hates sin and judges sin is the God who has given us a Savior, the physician of our souls. You will see Jeremiah's deep lament and his personal burden. He was broken up in his own heart for the need of his day. You'll see in verse 21, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. And here was a man who had a genuine burden for the people. In chapter 9 he said, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears. And so he was truly burdened. That he ministered with a burdened heart to a people who were headed for judgment, he preach to them that there is medicine, there is a physician. And praise God, our Lord Jesus is our great physician. The medicine is the atoning blood that he shed upon the cross. It is into this cursed world, a dying world, a world that is broken, that our Lord Jesus came to be the Savior of men. Someone said to me this week that if you say that God is in this COVID-19 virus and allowing it to rage around the world, that it's God's judgment at work, what a gloomy view of the world. Well, that's all we believe that would be true. But the fact that God gave us a Savior, his own Son, and that God poured his wrath upon his own Son, that we would be saved from that judgment, that tells us that our God is very merciful and very gracious. And the very fact that he burdened Jeremiah to the point that he was a man preaching with tears, that God sent such a man to Jerusalem to warn them of these things, to plead with them to forgive, give up their sins, and turn away from their backsliding. It showed that God is a God of grace and a God of wonderful salvation. And of course, the whole Bible is God's revelation. It's one grand message of a Savior, all the way from Genesis right to the Gospels. It's all about the Savior whom God would send into the world. And as we read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read of that Savior, his miraculous birth, his sinless life, and how he went to the cross at the hands of cruel men to be crucified. But in those hours of darkness at Calvary, our Lord Jesus became our sin bearer. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was the substitute who took our sins upon himself, that he would save his own people. And if you will trust him, if you will come and plead cleansing in that very blood of the Lord Jesus, then you too will be saved. You will be at peace with God through the Lord Jesus. And there's cleansing for you today. There's mercy for you today. There is salvation to all who will come and trust in the Lord Jesus as the balm of Gilead, the physician of our souls. He will save you. And of course, we preach continually, Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. Whatever your religion may be, whatever your culture, heritage, family background may be, Jesus is the Savior who will save you. There is none other. None other died on the cross. None other gave his blood. None other was God in the flesh, that you might have a perfect Savior. And we do know that millions upon millions will be in heaven, delivered out of this diseased, this sin-cursed world, and brought safely home to heaven. And for the Christian, death, while it once was our enemy, it now becomes our carriage into heaven. Oh, for the Christian, death is but sleep. It is to leave this world, to be absent from the body, and to be immediately present with the Lord. And we do not sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, we do not say these things to minimize the reality of suffering around the world. But praise God, there is a gospel hope that we can have absolute assurance that it is well with our souls. Now, I advocate that you look up the Bible, John, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10 verse 9 is that verse that anyone can plead and pray over, and by which you may be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now you'll notice in that exhortation there is the prayer. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. That means you are to call on the Lord. You are to plead his name. That if God hath raised him from the dead, that means that he was the Savior of the world whom God has risen up in victory. He's a living Savior. And he's alive in the world today. And he is the Savior of every sinner that will believe. And then you have the absolute confidence, thou shalt be saved. And I want you to have that confidence. What a wonderful thing in these times of dread and fear and news reports that are going from bad to worse, that you can be sure in your heart that you are saved. Saved from sin. Saved from hell. Saved for heaven. And saved for all eternity in the wonderful presence of God. And this is my earnest prayer for unbelievers and all who are out of Christ. Will you today give your heart to the Lord? And as I do on Sundays after preaching, I invite anyone that is earnest and anxious about their soul, if I can be of any help, if I can open the Bible with you, if I can pray with you and encourage you and help you in this, feel free to be in touch. Give me a call. Just call me at the number here, 604-576-1091. I do look forward to hearing from you. And even over the phone, I can minister the Lord's Word, open up the Bible with you, and you personally can call on the Lord to be your Savior. And what a wonderful thing if this fear that is a temporal fear around us is turned to a gospel fear, and that you call on the Lord and you are saved for heaven. Let's unite together in prayer and ask the Lord to minister to your heart and bless you today. Father, we thank thee for this glorious gospel. We thank thee that Jeremiah was not only sent to warn, but he was also presenting the hope of a Savior. And I pray today, Lord, that men and women all around our nation in Canada and indeed around the world, but some soul listening into this broadcast today, dear Lord, I pray that they will be drawn to personal faith in the Lord Jesus, that they will find medicine in the atoning blood, the pardoning power of Jesus' precious blood. And I pray that you will lead each one to faith, to comfort in a personal saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, in these times, send your Holy Spirit. Cause true gospel conviction. Give repentance and faith, and turn many unto thyself. Again, I pray, O Lord, that as pastor, that you will help us in these days to minister and encourage one another, that you will bless your people in all their cares and needs, in home, and those who are in essential workplaces, and those who perhaps are worried about paying the bills with loss of work. O Lord, be thou the comfort and the strength of your people everywhere. We do cry to thee to work in grace and to work in power. And so, O Lord, open the windows of heaven in these times. Pour us out a blessing that we may even not have room enough to receive. We pray for revival, a true turning to God, and great glory brought to your wonderful name. And so now we commit each other to thee. We pray for your people. We pray for our nation. We ask for your good hand to be upon us in these times. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your church, your redeemed people, now and evermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.